You're listening to Chaos on the Set, a chaotic TV and film review podcast, and your usual crew is reassembled today to discuss what may or may not be called the best sequel of all time, but my hosts are vigorously shaking their heads no while I introduce this. So let's introduce the hosts first. I'm Shruti.
I'm Mike.
I'm Kate.
And today we are discussing the 2004 DreamWorks animated classic Up! That screened at the 2004 Cannes Film Festival and was in competition for the Palme d'Or. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about Shrek 2. Mike, did you know that Shrek 2 competed for the Palme d'Or?
I did not. I knew it was at Cannes when I was doing a bit of research. But no, I was not aware that it competed for the Palme d'Or.
I think I had been told that at some point in my life, but I like forgot it. And then I, in research for this podcast, came across the Palme d'Or fact again. And I was like, what? This is cannot be real. And I think Quentin Tarantino was the head of the jury that year. Like every fact of that 2004 Cannes Film Festival thing is fascinating to me. But anyway, let's talk about Shrek 2. When we were going into recording this podcast, something that I had heard, like a couple of years ago, I want to say it was when we were in college, there was like very common conversation on the internet about how Shrek 2 was the best sequel of all time. And people were like, eh, I don't know, The Dark Knight is better. I don't know, The Godfather Part 2 is better. But we kept coming around to, this is not just me, everyone saying Shrek 2 is the best sequel of all time. But you guys have never heard this before. You're oblivious to this conversation?
I think so. I don't know who's saying that. I mean, I feel like I've seen it on Twitter discourse to a certain extent of people talking about maybe Shrek 2 and its merits as a sequel. I don't know if I've necessarily seen anybody call it the greatest of all time, which I think is just an absolutely absurd statement. I don't even know if it's the best Shrek film, to be honest.
It's not. At the time of the discussion, it was, because Puss in Boots: Last Wish had not come out yet.
I kind of like the original Shrek more, to be honest.
I don't. And you know what's funny is I watched Shrek 2 first when I was at my neighbor's house being babysat because my parents weren't home. And I obviously became obsessed with the movie because it was so fun and hilarious. And then didn't end up watching the original Shrek until like a year later for my birthday when we rented it from Blockbuster. And Shrek is just such a rescue the princess, whatever, fall in love plot that it's fine. But it didn't feel like new and original and fun, and like Shrek 2 has like fun scenes of like all of these spells are falling from the sky and changing us into different magical beings. Like it just has like a whole new level of creativity that as a child I really enjoyed, and then as an adult I've also really appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I appreciate most as an adult is like understanding all of the references throughout the movie that you definitely would miss as a kid.
The white Bronco for sure. Yeah.
Wait a second. I just would like to point out, there is a Bob Barker joke in that movie. We watched Shrek 2 together. The next day, Bob Barker died. I'm just saying, it's kind of our fault. That's why Bob Barker is dead, because we covered this film.
Jesus Christ. I watched it after he died, so I'm not taking credit for that.
Oh. Wow. You didn't prep that much for this episode then, because he just died like yesterday.
Yeah, I watched it post-death. I watched it last night.
In honor.
Yeah.
In honor of Bob Barker.
But my...
Wait, what was the joke? He got really close to 100 but didn't go
yes,
over.
Yes, he did. Bob Barker was a hero. I love The Price is Right. Regardless, I don't know. To me, Shrek 2 just didn't feel like that much was going on, really. Like,
it was shorter than I remember.
There's like a whole charade where a man is pretending to be somebody else's husband because of a fake spell that went off where they don't know the, like, and also Fiona also changed. I actually meant to look up the lore of the spell ahead of time. Sorry, we're getting beyond ourselves. I say this all to say, it's a complicated plot.
I don't know. I would say it's Princess's parents don't like that her and her husband are an ogre. They set out to change that with a potion, and that's pretty much it. And then they just have to kiss.
Well, first of all, not parents, just dad, because he has a hidden secret history of his own that he is a frog. So it's dealing with his own internal shame and inferiority complex.
It's not that deep.
Then coupled with the trauma that he signed Fiona up for, you literally read her childhood diary where she's like, Dad says I'm going away for a little bit. And then she's locked in a tower for many years with a dragon and nobody else for companionship. That's trauma.
Okay.
And after going through all of that Fiona found her own self-love for herself in the original Shrek, and now she's trying to convince her parents to find that same love for who she's found herself to be. There's many themes to this movie. And layers, like ogres and onions.
I didn't really like that Fiona wasn't really given much to do, though. Like, I like the first Shrek because she gets to adventure along with them, and it's like, that's kind of fun. I feel like she's just like, I'm home. I'm in my room. Oh no, my husband's gone. But I can't go look for him because my dad told me not to. Now I'm at the ball. And then it was over. I don't dislike Shrek 2. I just don't know if I like Shrek 1 better than Shrek 2 or not. Sorry, I said Shrek 1.
I think it's like an easy. I think it's easily higher rated than Shrek, the original Shrek. But it's not just that. I'm just surprised you guys have never heard this conversation. I put it on our Chaos on the Set Instagram. Throw us a follow if you don't already. Because I was like, oh, am I? Because both Mike and Kate were like, what? Best sequel of all time? I've never heard of this before. Over 70% of people have at least heard it talked as one of the best sequels of all time.
Okay, what are the results of the poll as of right
30%
now?
30% said absolutely it's one of the best sequels of all time. 45% said no, but it's up there. And 24% said no.
Is it my time?
Okay, well, 45% of people saying no, but it's up there doesn't mean that they've necessarily
You're misunderstanding the purpose of the poll. I'm not here trying to argue that this is one of the best sequels of all time. Like, I don't think that. I've watched better sequels.
But that's what your poll asks.
No, the poll asks that because the intent of the poll is you guys have never even heard this conversation before. So I was trying to see, am I the only person that's heard of this conversation of Shrek 2 being one of the best sequels of all time?
No, but you can.
Or no, the majority of our audience has actually been part of that conversation and you two are in the minority. That was the point of the poll.
No, but you could answer that poll without being aware of the discourse because you're just asking,
well,
is it one of the best sequels?
Well, people are
going
to listen to this podcast and then they'll understand the purpose of the poll.
No, if this poll would be so thrown out. This is like polling 101. This is
We're not doing polling to inform policy. We're doing polling to inform my own understanding of a national discourse that you too are not a part of.
Mom, Dad, please stop fighting.
This is like some Republican spinster bullshit. It's a horrible worded poll. Regardless, I think we should pivot the conversation to the fact that 30% of people responded yes, which is absolutely ludicrous. Regardless of what the other 70% of people said, whether or not they think it's even close, the fact that 3 out of 10 people said yes, it's the greatest sequel of all time, they're delusional. All I'll say is I can name 25 sequels that are better than Shrek 2.
Okay, go.
Okay. Oh, now, hold on. What counts as a sequel? Like the next film or like any film in a series?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Paddington 2.
Paddington 2 is better.
That's all you
it's
need
100%
on your list
better.
That's the best.
You think Paddington 2 is that much better than... You think Paddington 2 is better than the original Paddington compared to Shrek 2 and Shrek?
Wait, okay.
You guys think Paddington 2 is 100... Like, in terms of quality, between the quality of Paddington and the quality of Paddington 2, you're saying Paddington 2 is like 1,000 times better than Paddington and Shrek 2 is maybe just 10% better than Shrek.
So, see, I think that's an interesting...
Like, the comparison between...
Argument.
Like, that's my... I'm not saying Paddington 2 is a bad movie. I just think Paddington is equally as good. Like, I didn't go away from Paddington being like, oh my God, that was so much better than the original. Whereas when I watched Shrek 2, I was like, oh, that is better than the original.
No.
So I think that's the true crux of this argument because I could see people arguing both sides. Do you argue what sequel is a better improvement on the other films, or which sequels are just inherently the best films?
I think for the sake of sequel conversation in general, I would say it's the latter. It's like the former, the improvement on the first movie.
But Shrek 1 is so fun.
It's just very basic. Rescue Princess from Castle, subvert expectations, she likes to be an ogre. End of story.
See, like for me, right? Example, Lord of the Rings, all three films are perfect, so one sequel is not better than the other because they're all 10 out of 10.
Exactly.
But Lord of the Rings is so, 1,000 times better than Shrek 2. So it's a
tough
argument.
Let's keep this improvement on the first mentality as we have this conversation, mm-hmm. just because I don't want to have to keep having the same conversation. Do you think The Godfather Part 2 is that much better than the original Godfather,
no.
or it's just a good sequel?
I think it's just... I just think it's a perfect film.
So in that sense, Shrek 2 is a better sequel than The Godfather Part 2.
I would counter-argue that I think it's even more impressive to follow up a perfect film with another perfect film than it is to make a marginal improvement on a decent or otherwise good film.
What are the other big sequels in the conversation?
Across the Spider-Verse...
The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back, yeah. Across the Spider-Verse is, again, another issue with...
It's
I don't know if the first one
was so good. The second one is so good. Yeah. Are we talking about, like, a big improvement off the first movie?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I think Paddington 2 is one of those. Paddington 1 was not as good.
The Dark Knight, really I think, is a huge improvement. Dark Knight, absolutely. Dark Knight is a significant improvement off of Batman Begins. I watched Paddington and then I watched Paddington 2 and I was like, I liked Paddington a lot, so I was expecting to be blown away by
Paddington 2
and it was just fine.
Near perfection.
Top Gun Maverick.
That's true. Great. Yes.
Wow.
You got it. Wait,
I got
you
on that one.
Do you think Empire Strikes Back is a significant improvement, or is it just the plot?
Oh, the first Star Wars is not actually that good. It's just people just love it because it's like nostalgia based.
Yeah, I mean it is good, but I think Empire Strikes Back is like
better
masterpiece.
Interesting.
So yeah,
I've only seen the original trilogy once and have had no reason to go back and rewatch it. No offense to all the Star Wars fans out there.
Spider-Man 2.
Oh my God, I hate the Spider-Man 2 heads.
What?
Josh, Chaos on the Set Josh is just like, guest Josh is obsessed with Spider-Man 2, and there's like this whole group of like white boys who think that Spider-Man 2 is like the strongest work of art that they've ever seen.
I'm not saying that, it's just better than the first one.
Fair. No, but I get so annoyed when people flip the fuck out over Spider-Man 2. It's a fine movie. I think from this conversation, we do see Shrek 2 as in the conversation. I mean, I guess Kate doesn't. Kate didn't like it that much more than Shrek.
I don't. Because I don't like it more than Shrek.
Like, I wonder if I had... Because I did see Shrek 2 first, and I wonder if as a child, I was like, mm-hmm. this is just so fun, and then Shrek was just fine.
I know. I will say, I have a friend who is a Shrek lover, her favorite movie of all time. And I think she says Shrek 2 is better than Shrek.
Yeah, and I agree with her. She was going to be on this podcast, wasn't she?
Yeah, she doesn't. She's not a podcaster.
But are we talking, do we want to talk about what the best movie in the Shrek series is? Because we all agree, right?
I haven't seen it, Kate.
It's on Netflix.
Is it really?
And Peacock.
Oh, I should watch it then.
Oh my God, you should watch it. Puss in Boots: Last Wish blew me away, both of animation and a story, and I was like, and there was lots of, I was like, why am I crying over this cat's anxiety attacks?
And it lost to Pinocchio. Read it and weep. Read it.
Why
and
am
weep.
I thirsting over the wolf that signifies?
Okay,
death?
Wait. So, Kate, what is a better sequel, Puss in Boots: Last Wish or Paddington 2? Kate is no longer with us. She had an aneurysm trying to answer the question.
Paddington 2 is better.
Interesting. Okay.
That's because I think I have to be loyal to my bear.
Just wait till Paddington in Peru comes out.
But when we're talking, again, just because I don't think Paddington 2 is that much better than Paddington, and granted, I have not seen the original Puss in Boots, but nobody really cared about that movie.
No.
And the internet flipped out over Puss in Boots: Last Wish.
Yes.
So if we're doing, like, internet reaction over improvement on the first, I do think... That's the poll we should do
next.
What's the better sequel,
Paddington 2 or Puss in Boots: Last Wish? No one cared about Paddington 1 either. And then Paddington 2 came out, and it was like a slow burn where, like, after like 6 months to a year, people started being like, Paddington 2 was really good. And now it's
Paddington,
like the memes.
Paddington 2 got its notoriety because they made that big deal. They're like, oh, it's a perfect film better than Citizen Kane.
That, but that whole conversation came across much later than the actual Paddington 2 conversation.
That's true. But then when Last Wish came out, everyone immediately was like, go see it in theaters. It's like so good.
All right, let's talk more about at least DreamWorks, because we don't have to talk about Shrek 2, but let's talk about the Shrek extended universe, right? Because I've been doing some research now on like all of the Shrek counterparts. If you want to watch the Shrek extended universe in chronological order, first you have to start by watching the Puss in Boots series. Mm-hmm. Then you watch the first Puss in Boots movie. Then you watch Shrek, Shrek 2, Shrek the Third, Shrek Forever After. And then you watch Puss in Boots Last Wish, which ends on Puss in Boots heading back to Far, Far Away. So the full chronological order will be Puss in Boots series, Puss in Boots, Shrek, Shrek 2, Shrek the Third, Shrek Forever After, Puss in Boots Last Wish, and then this mysteriously not even there's a deal in place to make Shrek 5. But it's definitely going to happen because Illumination loves franchises and sequels. Mm-hmm. So what do we think is going to happen in the Shrek 5? For context, the head of Illumination, Chris Mellon-Durandry, said that we anticipate that all of the cast is coming back. Talks are starting now. This was in April 2023 in advance of the Mario movie being released. Talks are starting now and has every indication that there's a tremendous enthusiasm on behalf of all of the actors to return. So we're going to have Donkey. We're going to have probably Puss in Boots with the what happened
Mike
at the
Myers,
end.
Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz.
I hope Fiona has more to do in the sequel. Because Fiona's story in these movies is the first movie, she gets rescued. The second movie, she brings her husband to meet her parents. The third movie, she is pregnant, but, like, she's not even in the movie. Shrek goes off to, like, go parent another guy. The fourth movie is this crazy plot where Rumpelstiltskin has this plot to take over Far, Far Away. Also very little Fiona in that. So I would love Fiona to come back and, like, be the hero
of her own story. I
watched
that one kind of weirdly recently.
Shrek Forever After?
Yeah.
Why?
It was, like, I was home and it was on cable. I'm not even kidding. Like,
how was it? You watched it start to finish?
My mom
on cable?
Had it on. No, I didn't.
With ads?
Not start to finish. No. No, it was on, like, one of the movie channels. My mom just had it on. I came downstairs and I was like, what are you watching? And she's like, Shrek. I'm like, what? And then I looked. I'm like, this is, like, the fourth Shrek movie.
I also, the way they've numbered them to make me, it's not like Shrek 1, Shrek, Shrek 2, Shrek 3, Shrek, no, it's Shrek 2, but then Shrek the Third, and then the fourth movie is called Shrek Forever After.
Does
so
piss
what's
you
the
off?
Fifth movie going to be called Shrek Forever and Ever After? I don't know. It's stressing me out.
Oh, that fourth one is wild. Like, they,
I don't think I've
like
ever
creates,
seen it.
It's like Shrek AU. He creates like an alternate universe where like they're not married.
Yeah.
And then Fiona like hates Shrek's guts.
Because
they,
Shrek misses his like lonesome
bachelor
ogre life.
Party.
Every single Shrek movie is Shrek missing being alone. In the first one, he's like on this quest. So
no,
he can
no,
be alone
no.
In
second one is not about him missing
but
being
he does
alone.
A little bit at one point be like, oh, I wonder if I should just go back to the swamp and be alone.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I guess he's just, like, dreading having kids. So in that sense, he...
Yeah,
like,
this,
Shrek,
this,
at the end of the day, does not want to be around
I
people.
I want to defend Shrek's honor in the second one. I don't think he ever goes, like, I hate being married. I want to be alone. He goes from, like, oh, my God, her parents
I don't know. He literally
said...
He says the line, I didn't sign up for this. They're, like,
okay,
recently back from their
that's
honeymoon.
That's not him saying he wants to break his marriage and be alone. The only reason he decides near, like, the... Like, before the climactic scene of them, like... crashing the ball is that he like should leave her alone and go back to the swamp is because literally the fairy godmother goes like, this isn't what she wanted when she was a kid. You're just a burden to her. If you love her, you'll let her go. And he gaslit himself into being like, yeah, the best thing for her is for me not to be around. It wasn't him being like, I don't want to be married. It was him being like, I'm not a good husband. It's so sad.
So many layered, nuanced themes in this movie. But I do remember as a child, like, watching Shrek scream for Fiona to hear him, to hear that Prince Charming is not actually him and that he's being trapped in a tower. And it made me so anxious and sad as a kid to be like, no, Fiona, that's not your husband.
Wait, that's so true. When we were watching the movie, Shruti literally said, this part used to make me so anxious.
There is a theory that Fiona is a cannibal. Because who was making Fiona's meals when she was trapped in the tower? All we really see is dead men who have come to rescue her and did not survive the dragon's wrath. And so I'm just putting that out there. That could be something that we explore in the fifth Shrek movie.
You know what? Fiona's
cannibalism.
This is literally up there with your theory that Maverick died during Mach 10.
Again, these are not my theories. These are the internet's theories that I like to bring to the podcast. I did not come up with that myself.
I would love the writers to just be like, wow, this theory was caused by us not doing logical thinking when we wrote this, but like we'll just let them keep thinking this.
Another lore question about Shrek 2, right? So in Shrek 2, Shrek takes this potion and he becomes objectively handsome white man.
By the way, he wasn't even that handsome, and all the women were like swooning after him. I just like put him.
I don't know. I think hot Shrek can get it, but that's besides the point. So Fiona also turns back to human form because the lore is just like your one true love will also turn human. Is that the case? Okay. So then when Donkey turns into a handsome steed and goes, "I'm sexy," does that not mean that the dragon should also turn into a different creature?
Maybe she did. Yeah, that's why she came all the way to far, far away. But then he had turned back to a donkey by that point when she got there. So she flew in and maybe she was like, "Hey, I'm pregnant." Also, what the fuck happened?
I was listening to a podcast that said there was a version where like the dragon was supposed to turn into a Pegasus. Didn't fact check that myself, but that would be interesting. Also, according to the podcast, the director of Shrek 2 said there was a version of the movie where Lord Farquaad comes back at the end and rescues Shrek from the fairy godmother. How would we have liked to see that?
I would have loved a Lord Farquaad redemption arc, personally.
I honestly miss Lord Farquaad.
I mean, I like Lord Farquaad, but, I mean, just logically, like, what's the rationale behind that?
Maybe he's like, "I need to atone for my past sins."
Exactly. It's a redemption arc.
It's like Zuko.
Okay. I'm still caught up on thinking of what this dragon would turn into.
If we're talking about the dragon, I can't go the entire podcast without putting in your brains that the dragon and the donkey had intercourse. Thank you.
Kate says that all because there is a post-credit scene. Or is it the post-credit scene, or does it happen before the credits that you see that they have babies? Okay, it happens before the credits that you see that they have babies. Then the post-credit scene in the movie is a basically dance break of them singing on the stage. And then there's also a DVD featurette called Far, Far Away Idol. It's a 5-minute short that comes with a DVD with special guest star Simon Cowell, where there's a singing competition with Shrek, Fiona, and Simon Cowell judging the singing. Mike, you as a DVD owner had the opportunity to watch Far, Far Away Idol.
I did, and I am a voter as
well.
Ooh,
who did you vote for?
I ended up voting for Puss in Boots.
Oh, yes, good job.
He does a great rendition of "These Boots Are Made for Walking." A close second was Pinocchio's rendition of "Mr. Roboto" by Styx. And then third, I would say, would be the three blind mice singing "I Can See Clearly Now." Oh, the rain is gone.
They never will, though.
Yeah, but most of the songs that all the characters sing are somewhat emblematic of their characters. For instance, Prince Charming sings "I'm Too Sexy for Mushroom,"
which I think I
remember that as a child. I think that was the first time I ever heard that song.
Did he take it off though?
No, I think they, like, drop him in a hole on the stage. You, like, press a button and he falls.
I'm honestly surprised how much this movie uses the word sexy. Like, that's pretty erotic.
Doesn't Prince Charming kind of give Justin Timberlake vibes?
I think he gives Jamie Lannister vibes.
He does give Jamie Lannister vibes. He can't be giving Justin Timberlake vibes because there's already a Sir Justin.
Yeah, there is. Did you catch that, Shrew?
No.
Oh, you didn't see that?
A poster in her room and it said Sir Justin.
Oh, that's great.
It was supposed to be Justin Timberlake.
It's so above her bed when you look up to the ceiling.
You only ran the Far, Far Away simulation once, I'm assuming. Far, Far Away Idol.
Yeah, I didn't do multiple votes.
Apparently, if the viewer chooses Donkey, Puss in Boots, Shrek, or Fiona, that winner performs an encore.
Yes, Puss in Boots performed an encore.
If another winner is selected, Simon Cowell will protest and sing a rendition of Frank Sinatra's My Way.
Shit, I should have voted for Pinocchio.
Then they'll play the Shrek 2 end credits running up all the way to the end, and then the magic mirror says, ladies and gentlemen, our time here is up, but we look forward to seeing you next time on Far, Far Away, Ida.
Oh, I so should have voted for Pinocchio.
You have to go back and watch that after this.
I will.
It's so 2004 coded of them to be like, let's get American Idol on this.
I also just love, like, we are all reminiscing over a DVD featurette we experienced over a decade ago. Yeah. It was something that I, like, tried to access on Peacock, and I couldn't see it. Apparently, it was a feature on Netflix when it was available on Netflix, but there weren't, like, the voting options, so it just skipped to Simon Cowell winning. But, like, guys, let's bring back DVD featurettes. Like, this stuff is so fun. I miss it.
I'm just shocked I was able to find the DVD, to be honest. The other thing that cracked me up was when I first put it on and you get like the previews at the beginning for other films. And because, you know, this is DreamWorks, they were showing other animated films that were made around the same time. Do you want to guess which two animated films were?
And they were in the
previews.
DreamWorks movies too.
Pretty sure they were DreamWorks movies.
Okay, that makes sense.
The Ant Bully.
Oh, that's a good one. That's Aang's voice actor.
Oh wow.
He went to Syracuse. Sorry. DreamWorks.
I don't know what
Monsters Inc.
That's Pixar.
Oh fuck.
I will fact check it, but
I don't know other than Shrek. recently, you can think of all of these, but in 2004, what were they making other than Shrek?
I don't know if this is DreamWorks.
What?
Road to El Dorado? Is that DreamWorks?
No.
I don't know.
What about,
I just know what is Pixar.
What about the Atlantic one where they go to the Atlantis? Is that Disney? I don't fucking know, guys.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Mike, just tell us the movies.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. The first one, they are both DreamWorks films. The first one is Shark Tale.
Oh, TBT. With voice actor Martin Scorsese.
The Will Smith Finding Nemo ripoff.
Yeah.
And then the second film is a fantastic animated film that also kicked off an entire franchise with sequels.
Kung Fu Panda?
Madagascar. And I'll tell you what, the Madagascar preview is actually really good. The Shark Tale preview was just like a trailer, but the Madagascar preview was like Ben Stiller talking about the premise of the film and like who voice acted.
Wait,
and
all
of this.
Wait, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it was like a 5-minute thing.
Excited. Like, so it's Ben Stiller's like face. It's not animation. You see him.
Oh, it's him just like standing in front of boxes.
That sounds not enticing for children to want to watch a movie.
Oh my god, guys.
No, because it's like he was talking about the voice actors, like the kids would know any idea.
Yeah,
any idea who these people are.
That's such a weird decision.
And he's like, to play Melman, we got David Schwimmer. You might know him from that show.
Well,
he's like,
it's
unlike anything you've ever seen before.
When Kate and I went to see the Mario movie, there was a trailer for the movie Illumination. The movie Migration that Illumination is putting out at the end of this year. But instead of advertising the movie, they just said, here are all of the other Illumination movies that we've done, like the Sing movies and the Despicable Me movies. And come watch Illumination. You'll like it, too. Like, that's
and
how
and
they advertise
it. Like, the Migration actual trailer was, like, 10 seconds.
No, I couldn't tell you what Migration is about.
I was like, it's about migration.
Birds.
I actually do know what it's about now because I've looked it up. It's about a group of ducks in New England that no longer have to migrate because it's warmer.
Of climate change?
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's written by Mike White. So I think it will actually make a point.
Wait, Mike White is
the showrunner of the White
Lotus
franchise.
And
a survivor contestant.
Edge Neebly in
Kiss on the Set movie School of Rock. And
also, I almost called it Camp Rock for a second.
Mike Wright is also writing Despicable Me 4, so he's big in the Illumination camp right now, and we're going to get a lot more Illumination franchise movies coming out.
Wait, really quickly, I need you guys to understand the chokehold that Madagascar had on me as a child. Like, I fucking loved Madagascar. I had a video game of Madagascar that I used to play.
Oh, the Madagascar video video game was mad good.
It was so good. And then
it was really good.
Only last year, when I was still living in New York, I took my mom to the Central Park Zoo because it was near my office. And I was like, Mom, that's where the animals from Madagascar escaped. And she, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, but in the movie, they have above the clock, they have Alex's like statue there, but it's not there in real life. And I was upset by that there wasn't the lion up there.
Illumination, you have to hand it to them. They make franchises. Like, there's video games for Madagascar, there's video games for Shrek, there's theme park.
DreamWorks.
Illumination is DreamWorks.
This is the same thing?
Right?
When did this happen?
They're both owned by NBC.
I think they're adjacent to each other, but they're both owned by NBC.
But like, okay, Despicable Me is an Illumination movie and also a DreamWorks movie. I just know that you see the DreamWorks logo before the movie.
I think they're adjacent, but separate.
But they're both owned by NBC.
Let this be a lesson on how mega corporations are destroying this country.
I remember going to a great Shrek show when I went to Universal in Florida, and I had so much fun. And they had, oh my God, they had Donkey, like, there, and they had a real guy, like a impersonator, being Donkey. And you go up to Donkey, and you could ask him stuff, and he would, like, talk to you.
An Eddie Murphy impersonator?
Yeah. And I was like, hi, Donkey. Shrek. Like, literally, I remember being like, hi, Donkey. And he was like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, my name's Kay. He's like, hey, Kay, how you doing today? Like, you having a good day? And I'm like, yes, I am. And it was really fun.
How old were you?
I was young.
Okay.
Actually, no, I was like 15. But I was younger than I am now.
Mike, you want to talk about how Shrek 2 did at the box office?
I mean, I should say the Shrek 2 box office is mind-blowing stuff. But also, if we recall our previous episode when we talked about Shrek, that was also like a surprising success, right, at the time.
The first animated Oscar winner of all time. Shrek 2 did not win Best Animated Feature. It lost to The Incredibles.
That's okay.
Correct. But it was a huge financial success. So it grossed $935 million worldwide, so just shy of $1 billion, and and put that into the context now of the recent films we're talking about, hitting the $1 billion mark, like Barbie just hit it, right? And
yeah,
and you can feel how much of a fever that has been, around. But yes, so then you factor in inflation and it's even higher. For instance, Shrek 2 grossed just over 440 million domestically, which is a high percentage of of its total gross, close to 50% of that being domestic. And when adjusted for inflation, is actually a higher domestic gross than Avatar: The Way of Water.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, because when it's adjusted for inflation, it's like $700 million. That being said, Avatar: The Way of Water, obviously, its proportion of domestic gross is smaller than that of Shrek 2. Way of Water is a big international hit, so still overall, obviously more money, but still. Shrek 2 just put up astronomical box office numbers.
Wow. I did not expect that.
And so how does it compare to the other, like, Shrek movies?
It's a good question.
Like, I'm curious. I'm assuming it obviously beat the first Shrek, considering the numbers you just told me.
Yeah, probably. But hold on.
Then did Shrek the Third and Shrek Forever After continue to deliver?
One more thing I'll add before I get into how it compares with the other Shrek films are also that it scored the second largest 3-day opening weekend in U.S. history at the time. And
what was the first? Sorry.
Wikipedia does not say. And also at the time, it was the largest opening for an animated film. So, yes, it did beat Shrek 1. how it compares to Shrek 3. Shrek 3 also did quite well, did 813 million. So just shy of Shrek 2.
Ah, interesting.
Wow, Shrek 1 did so good. I was not expecting that.
And then Shrek 4 even less with 756 million. But still a wildly successful franchise. I mean, that's serious money. And the budget for Shrek 2 is 150 million, I kind of like gawked at that when I saw it. I was like, "Wow, they're willing to spend money on an
animated they just won an Oscar on the first movie. Why not?
Still. But I didn't realize it cost that much money to make an animated film. But I guess so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're paying all the actors, the animators.
The actors got a big pay raise. The leads were getting like $10 million.
I hope Cameron Diaz still made $10 million for the three lines you recorded. No, I'm kidding. She's in it. But I just wish there was more of her.
I will say, like, I bet that, like, because I'm thinking, okay, like, of other Disney movies that came out around that time, like Incredibles and, you know, like Finding Nemo, whatever. And it's like, those are really fun movies. But I bet Shrek 2 was really fun for the parents just because of, like, just how pop culture heavy it is. Like, I bet there are jokes that when we were rewatching it, I laughed, like, so much at some of the references in this movie that I'm sure went over my head as a kid. Like, We can start talking about the references or our favorite ones if we want to get into it, because they have a lot. There's a lot of zingy one-liners in this movie.
Yeah, go for it.
You can definitely tell this movie was made in 2004 because they made a lot of television show references. I think the biggest one was they spoofed on Cops and called it Knights.
I think that might be the funniest one.
And they have the TV program where they're chasing Shrek and Puss in Boots and Donkey, and they said, "We're following someone on a white Bronco," which is like O.J. Simpson in his white Bronco.
And for listeners, because Donkey turns into a white horse after the potion.
And then,
real quick though, don't skip the knights. I love when they find the bag on Puss in Boots, and he's like, "It's catnip."
He goes, "That's not mine." And then they have another instance where They pepper spray Shrek. But they actually just grind pepper onto his face. And then when they're tackling Donkey, he starts yelling, "Police brutality, police brutality."
That one's actually kind of rough.
Yeah.
And then the other big one, like television show, is they have, instead of E! Entertainment, they have Medieval Entertainment Television instead of E! Entertainment. And it's Joan Rivers.
And they got the actual Joan Rivers.
It's actually Joan Rivers. And I read an article. Like, this article that we're referencing, by the way, there's this article called Squiggly. This guy named Jim Hill that wrote down all the references in Shrek 4. Like, in 2004. In Shrek 2. Shrek 2. Sorry. He wrote down all the references in Shrek 2. In 2004, so this article is, like, 20 years old. And he, when he talks about Joan Rivers being in it, he's like, "They were really generous to her because she's had quite a bit of plastic surgery." So he kind of like takes a shot at her in it. But Joan Rivers is in it. They mention Seinfeld because they mention, they say, not that there's anything wrong with that. And they also spoof on Wheel of Fortune and say, "Can we watch Wheel of Torture?"
That one was funny.
I wonder if the third Shrek makes any Lost references, because Shrek 2 came out in 2004 when Lost first came out. So
that's what we're dying to know. Not in time. Is there any Lost references?
I feel like they would. Like, I could see that. I mean, they reference everything. They have Lord of the Rings.
Oh, so, like, okay, so, yeah, because Kate only did the TV references. She didn't touch. Didn't touch on any of the films. So I'll do those, because you said Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was my favorite reference, naturally.
Of course.
We mentioned that we were watching it.
It's their wedding ring, and in after they heat it up, it says "I love you" on the band instead of the black speech of Mordor, which I think is more romantic. But of course, there's the alien reference when Puss in Boots is like bursting out of Shrek's shirt when he attacks him. That's what happens in Alien. There's a reference to Annie singing "The Sun Will Come Up Tomorrow," Blazing Saddles. I love the E.T. reference when
Wait, what's the E.T.
The E.T. reference is when, Mongo, the giant gingerbread man, he goes, be good.
Oh. Can we talk about that? They made a sentient giant gingerbread man that has a conscience and then just let it die and don't worry about it at all. They know it's going to dissolve into nothingness. And they're like, it's fine. He's not important to the story at the end of the day.
Also, Mongo is the name of one of the characters in Blazing Saddles. That's another reference, is his name.
Yeah.
And it's also the name of the gingerbread man?
Yeah, they call him Mongo.
I don't remember him having a name. I just remember him having a consciousness and being terrified about
it. When Shrek is on his shoulder, he goes, go, Mongo, go!
There's a reference to From Here to Eternity when they're making out on the sand and the waves wash up. And it turns into a Little Mermaid reference. And then turns into a Jaws reference when the Little Mermaid is thrown into the ocean and the sharks attack her.
I think Disney would sue DreamWorks if you called her the Little Mermaid. That's so true. She's just a nondescript mermaid.
Well, wait a second. The Little Mermaid is actually a fairy tale which is in the public domain. It's just Ariel is copyrighted.
But that is the mermaid in Shrek 2 a redhead? I mean, I don't know what the copyright for Ariel is.
I think she was.
It was definitely them shitting on Little Mermaid.
I mean, Jeffrey Katzenberg was ready to.
The Mission Impossible reference is so good.
Wait, what's the Mission Impossible?
That's when Shrek and Donkey are chained up, and Pinocchio goes down on his well, and he goes down on the strings.
Yeah.
That's like the famous shot.
Another weird section where they're like trying to get Pinocchio's nose to grow so they can, like, walk across it.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, say a lie, something ridiculous, like, I'm wearing ladies' underwear.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And then they're like, oh, he's wearing a thong. I'm like, this is an adult movie. Like, what is going on? And it's also just a weird joke to make, like, in a kid's movie, to be like, ha, ha, ha. You know, I don't know.
Not only do they go, he's wearing a thong, they give him a wedgie in the thong, too. They pull it up and snap it back.
Yeah, snap that underwear. I'm surprised, honestly, at what this movie was allowed to get away with. But
there's also a Spider-Man reference, the upside-down kiss.
Oh, yes, that was good.
Yeah, there's so many.
And then... We haven't even hit the fact that Far, Far Away is just Los Angeles.
Yeah,
that Hollywood. Is hilarious.
And they hit, like, this guy too that we're referencing from in the article. He did a whole, like, little segment on all of the LA references, and it's like, actually, like, besides just like the haha, the Far, Far Away sign is the Hollywood sign. There's like apparently the billboards. You know, like the billboard of the Fairy Godmother where she's like kind of on her like sides, like seductively. That was based off of like these billboards from the 80s of this woman named Angeline who like.
Oh, yes. There's a Peacock series about her.
They have the actual Beverly Hills sign in Far, Far Away. And at the credits, if you get to the end, it says the Beverly Hills shelf design is a registered trademark of the city of Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Jeez.
Bob's Big Boy in Burbank is turned into Friar's Fat Boy, and that's where they get the fast food. And then, Prince Charming gets what is essentially a Happy Meal, but it's a medieval meal.
The world building in Shrek 2 is really, really fun, and I think the Fairy Godmother is such a fun and interesting character and villain. Like, she's an actual scary villain.
She reminds me of Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada,
our first movie that we covered. Yeah. Just because she's scary and has white hair, or is there anything else?
I don't know. She kind of talks like her, don't you think?
I think because she talks so much more, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around than, like,
Meryl Streep's a little more cold.
Yeah, like, she doesn't talk as much because she's just being...
I get similar mannerisms.
I think the Godmother is a little more animated, while Meryl Streep is, like...
Literally?
Meryl Streep is kind of, like, cold and, like, detached, and that makes it scarier. Meryl Streep is frightening in that movie.
She's conniving. I don't know. I got vibes.
Yeah, I didn't like when she gaslit Shrek, when she was like, oh, you just let her go, because why would anyone want to marry an ogre? It's like, shut the fuck up, lady.
I know. Every movie is just reminding Shrek that, like, hey, Fiona does love you. Shrek reads Fiona's notebook from childhood that says Mrs. Fiona Charming, Mrs. Fiona Charming over and over again. He's like, well, obviously, if she wanted to marry Charming as a child, she hates me now. And goes through this plight of insecurity. Just communicate with your wife and don't read her diary. But that's besides the point.
What happens to Charming? Doesn't he, at the end, he gets...
Charming comes back in Shrek the Third.
Oh, yeah.
He's the villain in Shrek the Third.
I like that in Shrek 2, it ends with the ugly stepsister who's voiced by Larry King being like, come here, handsome.
I don't think we'll cover Shrek the Third. I think this is the last Shrek movie we cover in a while. But perhaps we'll come back and do the fifth Shrek when that one eventually comes out. If, you know, everyone's freaking out over it.
I do want to say, Prince Charming... he's very good looking, and I do think I could change him, personally. I think I could fix him and make
him... Okay, but did you notice how he looks exactly like the queen?
What?
Oh!
Fiona's mom looks exactly like... What if they're like
siblings?
Oh, my God.
What if he's the secret love...
Conspiracy theory here.
What if he's the secret love child?
Look up a picture. They look exactly the same.
And so the dad doesn't know it, so he's completely fine pushing Fiona towards Charming. Meanwhile, the mom knows about the secret marriage, so she's like, Harold, what are you doing?
Because
she's
like... When the dad was still a frog, maybe she was like... I married him, but I just can't. This isn't going to work. So she went and got pregnant with someone else, and it was Prince Charming. But then she was like, I can't. Like, I cheated on my husband. So then she convinced the fairy godmother to take Charming and then turn the king into a man so they can have their child of their own and keep it a secret. That's so juicy. Soap opera shit, right?
You heard it here first on Kiss on the Set, the real story.
Ew, that means Trent that Chim. That means that it makes Prince Charming more like Jamie Lannister than we really thought. I haven't even watched Game of Thrones. That was a pretty good joke I just made.
There you go. Well, on that note, let's wrap up this very successful and chaotic episode of Chaos on the Set. Thank you for joining us. Very important programming announcement. I guess maybe we should have said this at the top, but we'll say it here at the end. Mike, what show have you recently started streaming that you're excited to podcast about?
I have successfully completed season one of Lost.
Woohoo! And so as a birthday gift to myself, we will be recording our next podcast will be on only season one of Lost. We might do like a spoiler section without Mike, but Mike has only watched season one. So if you have any season one thoughts on Lost, please send them to us. We now have an email. Kate, what's our email called?
It's called chaosonthesetpod@gmail.com because some bitch took Chaos on the Set and we don't know who.
So email chaosonthesetpod@gmail.com saying, hey, give us your domain, and then email chaosonthesetpod@gmail saying all of your Lost thoughts, and we'll let you know what we're covering. We do genuinely want to hear from you.
Here's a real question. Do you think they created it before or after we launched our pod? Like, do you think this is like a longstanding Gmail, or do you think someone that we know secretly saw our pod and is going to extort us? For access to this Gmail.
The more concerning thing is I'm like 80% certain that maybe
it's you.
One night
and you
I was
forgot
like
the
high
password.
Or something, or I just like made us a Gmail account and I don't remember.
Well, because you were supposed to make us a Gmail a year ago.
Maybe I did.
Oh,
I guess Kate forgot.
Wait, maybe I did. That's why you made taken. It. You guys, this is really bad.
Oh. There have been so many plot twists on this episode. Let's wrap up before we find out.
We're gonna use Chaos on the Set. pod@gmail.com because
yes.
It's just
please
easier.
Email chaosonthesetpod@gmail.com all of your Lost thoughts, all of your Shrek 2 thoughts, all of your best sequel thoughts. In the meantime, Mike, do you want to tell people where they can find you otherwise on the internet?
Yes, you can follow me on Letterboxd @mricardi. No Twitter today. No Twitter today. If you're really good friends with me, I'll add you to my close friends on Instagram because that's been a wild ride
Mike's
lately.
Been
so,
wild.
Mike, your close friends has been deranged.
Thank you. That's my goal.
Kate,
you can find me on Twitter @Kate_Wyatt. I won't hide it. I'm proud of it. I have a Letterbox too.
But you're gonna hide that because you're ashamed of it.
No, because you told me that if I share my Letterbox. What would he do to me? I don't know. Oh my god, I need a Shrek reference.
I'd turn you into an ogre.
Chain me up.
Shrek gets, Shrek 2 gets chained. Shrek 2. Shrek gets chained.
Shrek 2 is a little kinky.
All right. I'm wrapping this up. You can follow me on Twitter at MicroMarante. You can follow me on Letterboxd at SruthiMarante. And then you can follow all of us on Twitter, Instagram, or Letterboxd on all three. We're at Chaos on the Set. And again, you can also email us, chaosontheset@gmail.com.